and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I have an incredibly exciting personal announcement coming up because
what?
The most important news story of the morning.
Stephanie Miller.
Always. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but we have it's a big news day.
Yes.
We have David Schuster to talk about the president's press conference in his first 100 days, MSNBC star. Jennifer Palmieri, senior VP of communications for the Center for American Progress, also on the Celebrity Hotline today to talk about the big press conference. The breaking news to me out of the press conference last night.
We could have gotten this information in other ways. I believe the waterboarding was torture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the whatever legal rationales were used, it was a mistake. It corrodes the character of a country.
Also, the World Health Organization in the breaking health news this morning has raised the phase. It's we're at phase five now.
Mm-hmm.
We're at phase five of the swine flu outbreak. The new Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius.
What we are seeing is a situation where I would say state and local partners and the federal government is as prepared as they've ever been to deal with a situation. They're out ahead of it.
You know, if only there was somebody that knew something about, health and energy and things like that. Yes, Chris, who is it?
The chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health, Representative Frank Pallone from New Jersey.
Could not be more perfect. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Hey, I am just fine. What good timing to have you on this morning.
Well, that's good.
So we've got so much to talk to about the press conference the first 100 days, but obviously, you know, being that you're on the subcommittee on health, tell us your reaction to this. What does this mean for us that it's just been raised to level five?
Well, I think there has to be concern about the spread of the flu, and that's, you know, we're actually having a hearing in my subcommittee this morning with federal health officials, and we're basically asking them whether or not we have enough resources and people to actually try to prevent the spread. I mean, I think that's the key. We still don't know, you know, how severe it is and whether this strain, you know, could become more severe. But any effort that can be made to prevent more people from contracting it is, I think, the key.
You know, Congressman, I have to say, I saw this on your schedule that you have this emergency meeting. It's in less than an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
An emergency hearing on your subcommittee. I just, your schedule would make me laugh out loud today. Let's see, Congressman, you have the Stephanie Miller Show, and then you need to stop the the outbreak of a pandemic worldwide. Thanks for putting us first. I think that says volumes. WHO says that the phase five alert means there's sustained human to human spread in at least two countries. It also signals that efforts to produce a vaccine will be ramped up.
Exactly. I mean, my understanding is that a vaccine could be available as early as November or sometime between November and January. And of course, we're going to do that. But, you know, that's still a long time away. So the main thing is what can we do now to prevent more people from contracting the disease?
Well, you know, it certainly seems to me, Congressman, like the Obama administration has gotten out ahead of this thing. Obviously, the president talking about it last night, he talked about, you know, pledging great vigilance and confronting the swine flu outbreak. He did say, first of all, you know, closing the border to Mexico. Obviously, people have been talking about that already, but he said it would be akin to closing the barn door after the horses are out because we already have cases here.
I also question whether, you know, how effective it would be, too. I mean, you know, what kind of manpower would actually be necessary and would it actually accomplish the goal. So I think that's been kind of ruled out at this point for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it seems to me that, no offense, but some of the racists on the right have, they're just looking for any reason to close the border.
We've been trying to close the border not close it, but, you know, prevent people from coming over illegally for a long time. And I guess we've had some success, but I don't think it will prevent some people from getting through. So I just don't see that as an answer.
Mm-hmm. So some 100 schools have been closed, and more might need to be shut down, Obama said. This is a, obviously a very serious situation. The total confirmed cases in the U.S. rose to nearly 100, with a lot more suspected.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess the question is, you know, these are some of the questions that I'm going to ask today, is, you know, to what extent is, you know, maybe this was out there and we didn't know about it, too, you know, because now that we're actually making a sustained effort to find out what's going on. I guess the big question is, you know, how serious is it? Can it become more severe? Is it possible that the strain, you know, somehow changes and does become more severe? Because so far, at least in the United States, most of the cases seem to be pretty mild, which is good.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, and obviously, you know, this, when this happened in the 70s, we have to be very careful with this vaccine because...
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, a lot of people, some people actually died from the vaccine. But I think, again, that's still, what, at least 6 to 9 months away. So mm-hmm. we've got to be concerned about what we do now.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Pallone, what were your thoughts on the press conference last night? Highlights?
I mean, I thought it was very good. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I know we don't necessarily talk about it a lot in the media, but I think that that the one thing that really has been significant is the change in foreign policy between Obama and Bush. This idea of, you know, reaching out to other countries, saying that we want to work together, you know, we want to use diplomacy as much as possible. But then, of course, the other thing is, you know, looking ahead. I mean, there's a major concern about what's going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan, you know, with the Taliban seemingly making inroads in Pakistan. And I think the president is very concerned, and, you know, a lot of time is being spent at the White House, you know, trying to figure out what to do there, because that's a problem for the future.
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, we've got so much going on. You got a full plate over there. So we just passed the budget. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, when it comes to the economy, you know, the stimulus package is beginning to bear fruit. The budget, you know, was passed. And I think this idea of the federal government having to spend more money, you know, to kind of move the economy along, create jobs, and also, you know, to try to shore up the banking and financial sector, I think that Obama explains that very well. And, you know, even though there's more money and, you know, nobody likes to spend more money, the reality is that it does seem like the banks and the financial institutions are stabilizing. The problem with the economy continues to be loss of jobs in the manufacturing and retail sector. But hopefully, you know, as the stimulus kicks in and there's job creation and, you know, new jobs and infrastructure and you know, in other areas, you know, we'll see a turnaround beyond the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, look, he inherited this terrible situation, the worst economy since the Depression, and I think that what he's doing is certainly moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, obviously, the breaking news for a lot of people last night, Congressman, was the president's comments on torture.
Yeah.
You know, again, help me out here. I'm just a layperson, but he says waterboarding is torture.
Yeah.
We know that the Bush administration authorized waterboarding.
Right.
What does the Justice Department do about that? How do we say this administration broke the law, but we're not going to do anything about it?
Well, I guess I think there's sort of two aspects. One is sort of the political aspect, which is, you know, do we want to spend all our time and energy, you know, prosecuting people when we have so many other problems? And then the second thing is, you know, is it that easy to do? Because, you know, these things in many ways are nuanced. You know, who ordered it? Who said it? Who interpreted this policy?
Well, I can save time. Dick Cheney.
Yeah,
do we need to take any more time?
I mean, I think the problem is that I think what the president is essentially saying, and I agree, is look, we've got to call it what it is because it was wrong, and we don't want to repeat it. But on the other hand, to spend all our energy and time in trying to figure out who's responsible.
Well, Congressman, maybe you.
Tough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you and I differ on that because I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think the president is correct. This is the purview of the Justice Department. I don't think he needs to spend his time and energy on it. But I think that, you know, when you sign international accords, you have to live up to them.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to completely rule out what you're saying. I mean, the one thing that didn't really come up, but to me is important, is that, you know, the reason that these policies exist, you know, no torture, aren't just the morality of it, but the practical aspect of
Thank
it, which
you.
Is if you start doing it to your enemy is going to do it to you.
Yep, absolutely.
And I mean, you know, that was the thing I think George Washington said. You know, I don't want to do things to my prisoners that are cruel and unusual, because if I do, then they're going to do the same to me. And nobody mentions that. I don't understand how they don't figure, you know, that the same thing will happen to Americans if on a reciprocity basis.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
to me, that's another aspect.
Well, people have raised that issue, Representative Pallone, that, you know, this reporter that we have over in Iran, then I guess the right wing, by the right wing's reasoning, it's okay for them to waterboard her.
Yeah, exactly. So how far does that go? And then where do we go as a society? And unless you just don't care about your own people, but, you know, I think that's important too.
Yep. Representative Pallone, we so thank you for taking time out for us, particularly when you're supposed to be in less than 45 minutes stopping the global pandemic of swine flu.
Good luck with that. We're all
good luck with that. We're counting on you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right. There he goes. Representative Frank Pallone. I'm so glad you waited to do that till after he's gone.
What?
I made the mistake once that I thought it was Frank Stallone.
You almost called
and
him.
And I asked him about his mother's tap dancing mini pinchers and reading people's butts. And I
you almost called him
like,
Stallone.
Oh, the House Energy Subcommittee of Health guy. That guy. Okay.
You almost called him Stallone during the interview. Do you realize that?
I think I did.
Okay. Yeah.
So when your brother directed Rocky.
Oh, that's the other guy.
Oh, that's different. Okay. All right. That was Representative Frank Stallone. See, I'm the one to cut through all the bull in Washington with this torture thing. Jim, see, if they would send me. Now, you know, Ed Schultz and I and John Podesta and I, we went and testified on the Fairness Doctrine to the Democratic senators. I could do that. Give me some. Jim, just play various senators asking me questions. I could cut through. We could get this torture thing done in like.
Ms. Miller.
Dick Cheney.
Okay. All right. Adjourned.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Dick Cheney. That'd just be my answer for everything.
Dick Cheney.
How did we get to the bottom? Dick Cheney.
9/11. Dick Cheney.
Okay. Hey, you tricked me into that. All right. I almost called Congressman Frank Stallone. Why?
Why?
Because I've had zero sleep. Because of my exciting personal announcement.
You've given birth.
I have.
You have a baby?
Mom has got a puppy. Mama rescued a puppy yesterday. Mommy's got a new puppy. Mommy rescued a puppy yesterday from Gentle Giants Rescue. He's a 10-week-old Great Pyrenees Tibetan Mastiff mix. And he's the cutest puppy in the world.
And you're gonna have to widen your doggy door.
Okay.
Once he grows up.
Can I just tell you something? Here's the reason, because I have a different reason every day that I'm not prepared for the show. Literally, the dog ate my show prep this morning. Who the puppy likes the show prep?
The puppy likes the show prep.
The puppy took big chunks out of my show prep.
Do you get these huge man-sized dogs because you can't get a man?
Yes.
Computer says yes.
That's it.
Good Lord, woman.
I took many of my listeners' advice too literally, because as you know, I lost my 13-year-old Great Pyrenees Puff a week ago, and everybody wrote and said the best thing is to rescue somebody right away. And because, you know, I've been up all night for months taking care of Puff because she's been very old, not doing well, and now I'm up all night taking care of a puppy. That's not house trained yet, are you? No, you're not.
Part man, part dog, he's Mog. Or maybe Dan.
He's a playmate for Max, but Max, as we speak right now, has currently lost the will to live. The puppy grabbed a giant biscuit out of his mouth this morning. Max just stood there blinking, looking at me, like, what have you done to me, woman?
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Max is a little slow on the uptake. Max is 140 pounds of...
He is really like a Scooby-Doo. He is.
Yes.
He's as big as Scooby-Doo.
Yes, Max is...
And just about as dumb.
Ginormous, and I think... and I'm currently Joey. I think he's Joey. I'll keep you apprised if I change.
Joey?
He's my pal Joey. I'm pretty sure that's his name. I'll keep you posted if it changes.
Like a baby kangaroo?
A Joey. It's the cool baby.
Exactly.
Baby rooster. Cool Joey.
All right. All right. So the point is, the Obamas and Mama have a puppy. We love the puppy. I rescued the puppy. Okay.
Maybe we'll get in screaming matches with the boy band's dog.
So I may have missed some things out of the press conference because I ate a Pierre. But we'll we will recap all the
That's
breaking
today's
news.
Theme. I have a puppy.
Maybe this was a bad day after a big breaking news story like the president's press conference. All right, but I will. I have puppy brain. But we will soldier on anyway and talk about the highlights of the president's press conference and first 100 days as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Patrick on in Chicago on Arlen Specter. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
You know, one thing I'd like to bring up today is, and I haven't heard it on any blog or I haven't heard it on any radio show, is the fact that, remember Operation Chaos, Big Fat Limbaugh had that Operation Chaos where he wanted all of the Republicans to
that
register.
That worked spectacularly well, getting Hillary the nomination, as you know.
Exactly. Well, you know, he got hoisted on his own petard because Specter claimed that the fact that all of those Republicans that transferred over to the Democratic Party in the primary caused him to become a Democrat. So we have Rush Limbaugh to have a Senate that cannot be filibustered.
That's true. Well, Rush Limbaugh is the leader of the Republican Party, and he's been beating up on Specter for years.
Yes.
Those are exactly the people that are pushing the moderates out of the Republican Party. So
nicely
we say,
done.
Good job. Nicely done. Nicely yes. played, Rush. Way to go. By the way, that was a brilliant plan with the whole Hillary thing. Woo, that worked. Okay. All right. The president last night at the press conference.
We have a lot of work left to do. It's work that will take time, and it will take effort. But the United States of America, I believe, will see a better day. We will rebuild a stronger nation. And we will endure as a beacon for all those weary travelers beyond our shores who still dream that there's a place where all this is possible.
Yes, it's a new day, as we say. Mm-hmm. He said we're off to a good start, but it's just a start, as he marked his 100th day in office yesterday, by laying a new foundation for growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a new catchphrase that we're supposed to. That would support
NFG.
Exactly. That would support a recession-racked economy that was built on a pile of sand.
Yes.
Thank you, President Hoover.
Mm-hmm. And it's all because of Eric Cantor's high-speed rail.
He said, I'm proud of what we've achieved, but I'm not content. I'm pleased with our progress, but I'm not satisfied. Even as we clear away the wreckage of this recession, I have said that we cannot go back to an economy that's built on a pile of sand, on inflated home prices and maxed out credit cards, on over-leveraged banks and outdated regulations that allow the recklessness of a few to threaten the prosperity of us all. We must lay a new foundation for growth. Trademark, Barack Obama.
Yes.
A foundation that will strengthen our economy and help us compete in the 21st century, he said, only hours after the Senate voted to approve the budget resolution that reflects his priorities.
As the Republicans would call it, socialism! Communism!
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of ism!
By the way, can I just say the president got off the best line of the day yesterday, actually, in the town hall. Did you see he talked about the teabaggers and the Fox News, kind of indirectly? He was sort of suppressing a smile, and he jabbed at his critics, the critics of his spending plans. We have that, don't we?
Yes, we do, and we'll play it for you when
yes.
we get back.
Ah, cheesy McTeezers.
Sure.
You.
Ambien.
Drunk.
No, it's
okay.
Ambien.
Okay, all right. I have puppy brain, he's on Ambien, good. I don't like the prospects for today's show. 28 minutes after the hour, back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would you do me the very great honor of eating my shorts?
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. The big story of the morning, of course. Mama got a puppy. I got a new puppy. I rescued a puppy. Hi, Richard. Richard
Hi.
In Chicago.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
Congratulations on Joey. I think
Thank
his
you.
Name should be Joey.
I don't know why. Max and Joey. All right. Go ahead.
What I need to know is who's at your house protecting Max from Joey all morning while you're at the show? Do you have an animal person,
Joey's,
an animal care person?
Joey's in the crate, which, by the way, if any of those dog-trained people say, oh, they love the crate, no, they don't. They
computer says no.
He's currently shrieking in the crate, but hopefully he'll get used to it.
And you feel okay about letting a new puppy alone in the house shrieking all morning?
Oh, listen, you know what? Here's the good news. I'm paying back my next-door neighbor with the shrieking dog.
Boy band.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get a megaphone, attach it to the crate.
And point it at his house.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't hear. I have all the doors shut and whatever. He only shrieks for a little while,
okay.
And then he calms down.
Whereas boy band always has all of his windows open.
All the time.
Yeah.
With his screaming dog.
Yeah.
Maybe I just got a puppy for revenge.
So your puppy's right. Name is Joey.
I think it's going to be Joey. That's
is
what
it?
I think.
Okay.
Yes.
That's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. He's a cute puppy in the world. Hopefully I have pictures up by tomorrow. I was a little too puppy-brained yesterday to accomplish that. All right. So I mentioned the president yesterday, not just the big press conference, but this was at the town hall yesterday.
Yes.
We have this crunchy audio goodness. He was he took direct aim at the teabaggers and the Fox News.
Those of you who are watching certain news channels that, you know, on which I'm not very popular, and you see folks waving tea bags around, let me just remind them that I am happy to have a serious conversation about how we are going to cut our health care costs down over the long term.
Yes, how we're going to stabilize Social Security, he said, but let's not play games and pretend the reason for the deficit is because of the Recovery Act. Thank you. He was sort of repressing a little smile.
Mm-hmm.
These are serious times, Jim.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Teabaggers, talking to you. All right. So the president reaching out to his GOP friends.
To my Republican friends. I want them to realize that me reaching out to them has been genuine. I can't sort of define bipartisanship as simply being willing to accept certain theories of theirs that we tried for 8 years and didn't work, and the American people voted to change. But there are a whole host of areas where we can work together.
Thank you. Lance in Fort Worth, Texas, on the torture comments from last night. Hello, Lance.
Hey, hot stuff.
Why, thank you.
Actually, I was talking about Jim. But
pardon me.
Well, he has breath. But anyway, watching these Republicans saying, well, I'm not sure if waterboarding is torture. The jury is still out on that one. Kind of reminds me of Roman Polanski's apologists saying, well, I'm not sure if drugging and sodomizing a 12-year-old counts as child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, what a bunch of degenerate creeps. They are really just sadists and animals.
Well, I mean, that's why that was,
you
know, Lance, that was why that was my favorite highlight from last night. Is the president was unequivocal. He said waterboarding is torture.
He said he thinks waterboarding is torture. He should come out and say it is torture.
Oh, well, all right. Now we're splitting hairs.
No, he said waterboarding is torture. Let's play that again.
Let's play that again. Why don't we? Yeah. That's pretty
we
sure.
We could have gotten
that.
This information in other ways. I believe that waterboarding was torture. And I think that the whatever legal rationales were used, it was a mistake. It corrodes the character of a country.
He said he was absolutely convinced he acted correctly in banning waterboarding and making the Bush administration torture memos, public. He said not because there might have been information that was yielded by those various detainees, but because we could have gotten this information in other ways, in ways that were consistent with our values, in ways that were consistent with who we are. To which I say, here, here. Interesting comments. That to me was very significant what he said. So I asked if Frank Pallone, the congressman, just when we had him on a little while ago. Maybe I'm just a layperson here, but I don't understand what else there is to. The president has said waterboarding is torture.
Yes,
torture is illegal. Therefore, how?
And therefore, he's letting the Justice Department take care of things.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
To me, this is not some kind of thing that's open for debate.
Right.
He did not say directly whether he believed the Bush administration sanctioned torture, but he came close to endorsing that viewpoint. And I think you're right. Politically, he's sidestepping this a skosh because it is in the purview of the Justice Department
right
now.
And it's not up to him to, you know, make the decision or to make the prosecutions.
Yeah.
It's up to his Justice Department.
He said, what I've said and what I will repeat is waterboarding violates our ideals. I do believe waterboarding is torture. Stopping such practices, he said, will make us stronger and make us safer over the long term. He said he was very comfortable with his decision to ban waterboarding. He says, part of what makes us, I think, a beacon to the world is we are willing to hold true our ideals even when it's hard, not just when it's easy, which I thought was a good point. All right. The president talking about the economy in general.
We're off to a good start. But it's just a start. I'm proud of what we've achieved, but I'm not content. I'm pleased with our progress, but I'm not satisfied. Millions of Americans are still without jobs and homes, and more will be lost before this recession is over. Credit is still not flowing nearly as freely as it should. Countless families and communities touched by our auto industry still face tough times ahead. Our projected long-term deficits are still too high, and government is still not as efficient as it needs to be. We still confront threats ranging from terrorism to nuclear proliferation, as well as pandemic flu. And all this means you can expect an unrelenting, unyielding effort from this administration to strengthen our prosperity and our security in the second 100 days and the third 100 days and all the days after that.
Al in Georgia on the torture revelations yesterday. Hello, Al.
Hello there, Stephanie Miller.
Hello.
How you doing,
kid? Good, go ahead.
Hey, listen, another reason you can add to the stack of reasons why we don't torture and why we shouldn't torture people. You know, I just got back from Iraq last summer. I think this is the second time I've called. You have a great show.
Thank you.
Were
you serving in Iraq?
I was.
Okay.
15 months.
Okay, thank you.
And not a problem. They, like I said before, they pay us every day, so it's not a problem. I don't mind doing it at all, as long as they pay me. I wouldn't do it for free. But anyway, I would question
your intelligence if you would.
Thank
but
you.
All right, go ahead.
I bet you would.
Go ahead.
But anyways, one of the reasons why we don't torture, Steph, and you guys know this. This is common sense. The best way for me to win out there is if the other guy gives up. That's the best way for me to win. It's the cheapest. It's the less bloody way. It's the best way for us to win is if the other guy gives up. And one of the reasons, it may not be the only reason, but one of the reasons why the other guy gives up is when he knows he's not going to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they know they're not going to be tortured, then they're more likely to just give up.
Right.
Whereas if they
and give
know
up and,
going
and give
to
up information,
tortured,
right? Mm-hmm.
They're going to fight to the last bullet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you think back to the first Gulf War, and I'm kind of an old timer, I was in that too. And when I got back from that, everybody said, "Well, you know, we knew that it was over when we saw these big lines of Iraqi soldiers with their hands over their head, turning themselves in." They stretched all over the sands, you know, for miles,
right.
It seemed like. And, you know, one of the reasons why they did that was because they knew they weren't going to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought they were going to be mistreated, of course they're not.
Al, that's
not
a, that's a really
that
interesting perspective and one I've heard other military people give. So thank you for that. And thanks for your service.
Well, you're welcome, like I say, anytime, and you have a great show.
Thank
Keep it up.
Thank you, sir. All right. 42 minutes after the hour, right back with the more highlights of the president's press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We continue with our thoughts and yours on the president's press conference and first 100 days, 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Irv in Chicago on the president. Hi, Irv.
Good morning, Steph and Luke.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was really struck last night. I'm watching the after conference discussion, and most of the pundits are giving Obama an A and a B, and then Wolf Blitzer starts becoming obsessed with, but the American people are weighing in online, and they're only giving him a C. And I start thinking, yeah, and I watched Leno the other night, and on Jaywalking, they're asking people who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and no one knows. But when he asks, who lives in a pineapple under the sea, they all know it's SpongeBob. So these are the people who are grading Obama and giving him a C.
Well, again, Chris always says this, but online polls are notoriously unreliable. I mean, yeah. Obviously, every major poll has showed the president with huge approval ratings. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that was Fox viewers flooding the online poll for last
night. It's entirely
night.
Possible. Oh, speaking of freepers.
Yes.
You know what their new nickname for President Obama and his lovely wife are?
What?
Blackula and Blackie O. That's the kind of thing you find at freerepublic.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's classy with a K.
And I hear Fox News was bitching that they were the only ones that weren't called on
yes.
last night.
O'Reilly in particular. Mm. Huh. Yeah.
Maybe that's perhaps because they didn't carry the press conference.
Yeah, Fox didn't carry the press conference.
That's such a what a serious news network they are that they won't carry a major address by the president.
Well, Fox News
Network.
But the Fox Network was the only network to not carry it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. John, my right-wing love muffin in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, glad to talk to you guys. Hey, listen, I'm an insurance agent in Dallas, Texas. I am a conservative, but I love listening to you guys because you crack me up.
Good taste.
Yeah, you know what? Thanks. Appreciate it. So anyway, I'm listening to Obama talk about the health care and how we got to fix it and all that kind of stuff. And I've got millions of peers that sell health insurance. And I presume that when we have national health care, we're not necessarily going to need insurance agents to hawk the government's program. And so I'm wondering, what's going to happen to us? I mean, this is my livelihood.
Okay.
Insurance companies won't disappear overnight.
I was befuddled by that.
Well, not insurance companies like Blue Cross or Aetna or the big guys. They're going to be around, perhaps, because they're going to be the administration's company that does the.
It's not going to be a government-run insurance, John.
Yeah. Why are you? No.
No.
Okay.
That's not what he's proposed at all. That's what the right-wing talk radio would like you to believe, but that's not what he's proposing at all.
And what do you think he's proposing then?
What do I think he's proposing?
You think he's proposing we're going to have two plans, a private plan and then a national plan?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the final product is going to look like, but as Chris said, it certainly doesn't have to do with doing away with insurance companies. But you know what? You stay away from right-wing radio. You just stay here with Mama. Thank you for helping there, Chris. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
No, right-wing radio is... It's.
Did I miss that? Was the puppy doing something when the president said he's getting rid of insurance companies last night? I must have missed that.
Now, right-wing radio keeps beating this drum that it's going to be socialized health care completely run by the government. And
yes.
And it's not. That's the furthest thing from the truth.
Yes.
So right-wing radio is lying to you.
I don't know who can agree that the healthcare system in this country is nearly perfect and probably needs no help at all.
Well, if you're a billionaire.
Sure, then it's perfect.
Yeah. The president said our progress has to be measured in the results that we achieve over many months and years, not the minute-by-minute talk in the media. I'm not a miracle worker, which I think, you know, that's the thing. It's even 100 days. It really is. It's just an arbitrary thing. But can I give you the fun facts?
Sure.
Just for those of you keeping track, I'm just saying it has been quite 100 days. He's relaxed restrictions on embryonic stem cell research, ordered the closing of the U.S. prison at Gitmo, ordered most U.S. troops out of Iraq and more U.S. troops into Afghanistan, pushed through his economic stimulus plan, a mortgage relief plan, a second Wall Street bailout, and his plan to redeem so-called toxic assets, approved a lending to struggling Detroit automakers. Up next, climate change, education reform, and universal health care. So I'm just saying, if you know... I what have you accomplished, Chris, in the last 100 days? See? Can't think of one.
I scrubbed the bathtub.
Okay. Cleaned the cat box.
Mm-hmm. All right. The president yesterday.
I am surprised compared to where I started when we first announced for this race by the number of critical issues that appear to be coming to a head all at the same time. The typical president, I think, has two or three big problems. We've got seven or eight big problems.
Yeah.
Cha.
And he's doing a fantastic job with those seven and eight.
Yeah, I think he said that. To people that say, oh, he's doing too much, he didn't have the luxury. I'm sure he'd love to have the luxury of only having one or two problems to deal with, but a lot of this stuff, we can't wait. You can't wait to do something about swine flu. You can't wait to do something about the automakers or the economy. Or
you could go on vacation. That's what I do.
Yeah, I wonder how many days George Bush was on vacation in his first 100 days.
Yeah, his 100 first days. 100 days, I think 80 of them were in Crawford.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The president opened by promising Americans his government was doing everything we can to counter the spread of swine flu. I mentioned earlier, rule out closing the southern border, which I'm sure made Lou Dobbs apoplectic.
Yeah, made him explode.
Yeah, but you're paying attention to science.
Whatever.
It's already here, so it, like he said, would be like closing the barn door after the... Okay. All right. The president yesterday.
I've consulted with our public health officials extensively on a day-to-day basis, in some cases an hour-to-hour basis. At this point, they have not recommended a border closing.
But he's not completely ruling it out in case things get out of hand.
Yeah.
There's a Texas doctor who claims swine flu cases are far worse than reported.
The outbreak now has spread to 11 states and closed schools, and obviously we talked about the first U.S. death yesterday, and Mexican toddler who visited Texas with his family. The confinement of dozens of Marines after one came down with the disease out here in California. Some 100 schools were closed. Some may need to be shut down temporarily, Obama said, declaring this is obviously a very serious situation. Total confirmed cases in the U.S. have risen to nearly 100, with many more suspected. He said the key now is just to make sure we are maintaining great vigilance, but everybody responds appropriately when cases do come up and individual families start taking very sensible precautions that can make a huge difference. That was obviously, he had just spoken to the head of the WHO, the Geneva-based WHO.
Who said it's much too bad.
They have raised the level to level 5. Yes. We're already level 5, which is one notch below the where... Jim, that's the 6 is technically the weird.
Yeah, that's a Stephen King novel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Steve in Minneapolis on healthcare. Hi, Steve.
With clowns and everything.
Howdy.
Howdy.
This healthcare thing. We have a real misunderstanding of what socialized medicine is.
Yes.
Because we already have socialized medicine in this country. The VA system. Mm-hmm. We own the hospitals. We pay the doctors directly. It is a totally government-run system.
And Medicare.
Medicare does not own any hospitals. They don't pay. They reimburse doctors the fee. We pay. We pay into a giant pool, and we pay them out. Now, there's another model that Medicare looks like, and that's the self-insurance of all the major corporations. Now, are these major corporations suddenly socialist organizations? They recognize that they couldn't afford to pay health insurance companies, so they self-insure. They put all their money into a pool and deal directly with the hospitals and the doctors and make up their own little plans, which is exactly what we're talking about doing here. It is simply self-insurance run by a single government entity that doesn't have to pay for advertising, doesn't have to pay for people to deny you service. All they do is allow the doctors to do their job and pay them.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Bob in Tacoma, also on healthcare. Hey, Bob.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good.
I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to do that. Hey, I'm concerned about the guy that says he's hawking health care. We don't need health insurance. We need health care.
Yeah.
And single-payer health care is about 2 to 3 times cheaper. I wish people would realize that we're paying for the investors' dividends. And one guy got $1.7 billion with a B that ran the second largest HMO in the country. It's kind of like saying, I'm hawking police protection, or I'm going to hawk fire department protection.
Well, this is what I've always said. Is, whoever thought this was a good idea to make this a for-profit industry,
Nixon.
Healthcare is...
Nixon.
Yeah. Well, all right, there you go.
Thanks, Nixon.
Thank you. All right. John in Tampa Bay on torture. Hi, John.
Mama, Mooks. Mama, you're so sexy. Thank you for being around.
Thank you.
I have one thing that I've never heard anybody say regarding these boneheaded torture things. We on the left have been going to jail for years for social injustice and to try to facilitate change. Mm-hmm. Why isn't anybody on the right willing to go to jail because they believe torture works?
Mm-hmm. Because they are cowards and they are soft, as Lawrence O'Donnell said. Mm-hmm. Sean Hannity could not withstand 1 second of waterboarding.
Well, and this is the thing. This is, to me, the fundamental...
They're, and by the way, they're always the people that would never apply for military service.
Right.
Well, this as much true. But my brother, God bless him, has gone to jail several times to protest Hydro-Quebec up in the Northeast and what they've been trying to do in terms of managing the power systems up there. And I tell you, if it was so important, if it was so important for national security, then they should be willing to go to jail and take the consequences because they love their country that much.
Hear, hear. All right. A Georgia politician wants to put his days of having sex with mules and watermelons behind him.
What?
Stand-up news is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. By tomorrow, we'll hopefully have puppy pictures up of Mommy's new puppy, Joey. Mommy rescued a puppy yesterday. Who's Mommy? Good boy.
Too bad Norma Desmond doesn't yell out the name Joey in Sunset Boulevard.
And Max has a new playmate. Max, who's your new playmate?
Max!
All right, I will de-puppy my brain to talk to David Schuster this hour, the fabulous MSNBC host, about the president's press conference in first 100 days, and then Jennifer Palmieri, senior VP of communication for the Center for American Progress, on the very same subjects next hour.
The Center for American Progress does great work.
They do indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By the by, so lots of big breaking news. The president last night on his first 100 days.
There's no mystery to what we've done. The priorities that we've acted upon were the things that we said we'd do during the campaign.
Yeah, exactly. He revealed his socialistical plot long before he enacted it. We'll tell you what the right is screaming about the press conference first 100 days. Also, the other big breaking news is the WHO has declared the swine flu a level 5 now. Mm-hmm. We're at level 5.
I have decided to raise the current level of influenza pandemic alert from phase 4 to phase 5. All countries should immediately now activate their pandemic preparedness plans. Countries should remain on high alert for unusual outbreaks of influenza-like illness and severe pneumonia. It really is all of humanity that is under threat.
Well, Pete Townsend sounded like he had a cold.
That was not...
It's because he's deaf now.
That WHO. It's the World Health Organization, and that was Dr. Chan. Not Jackie Chan. Before you... There's not... That's not it. You can't combat swine flu.
Well, I did understand the words that were coming out of her mouth, so I...
You cannot combat swine flu with nunchucks. It's Dr. Margaret Chan, just to clarify.
Not Dr. Jackie Chan.
No.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Not that WHO. All right, Jim.
Cindy Lou Who?
I have a, the quote for you.
Mm.
Who said there is a false choice between our security and our ideals? We must hold ourselves to higher standards than our enemies. Who said that?
Kit Lambert.
No, President Obama is speaking to the FBI the other day. Mm. That was the other breaking news out of the press conference last night. Waterboarding is torture. Let's see, torture is illegal. That means... Bush administration, war criminals. Just saying. All right, I told you I could get to the bottom of this in like 2.3 seconds. We don't need to distract ourselves. We don't need to take a long time. I would just answer every question with Dick Cheney. How do we get Dick Cheney? And what should we Dick Cheney? I would just I could cut to the chase immediately. All right.
Who kidnapped the Lindbergh baby?
Yeah, Dick Cheney.
He ate the Lindbergh baby.
Who put the ram in the ram alone? Ding dong. Okay.
Okay. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. Yippee.
You wrote the book of love.
It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. And news breaks here.
Who put
here
the Benz in Dick Cheney. This is Murphy's Ovaltine. Okay.
Who are you?
Cheney. All right. Our top story. Oh, dear. President Barack Obama has one indisputable accomplishment as he nears his fabled 100-day mark. Republicans remain baffled about how to combat him. He's still high in the polls, so should Republicans on Capitol Hill try to work with him, saving their bile for Democratic congressional leaders who aren't as popular? Yes, say some Republican strategists. On the other hand, the president is trying to expand government power and spending, so shouldn't Republicans stick to their traditional principles and bash him every chance they get?
Compute says yes.
Yes to that, too. Other Republican strategists. What? They seem like a party in some degree of disarray.
Yes.
One top Republican strategist said, our base is getting frustrated. They hate Barack Obama. We have a top Republican strategist on this.
Oh, we got him now. Sure, you undecisively mean he's real popular and stuff. But hey, we're Republicans. Destroying Democrats with baseless accusations, vitriol, hyperbole, lies, hysterical fantasies, and general snottiness is what we've been doing for 40 years now. Hey, watch this. Obama's a partisan. Yeah, take that, Obama. Hey, he didn't even flinch. What's wrong? Hey, yeah, I know we voted against the stimulus as a block, but that never bothered anybody before. Okay, try this. Obama's a socialist and a fascist. Crap, he's not even breaking a sweat. Okay, this one always works. Obama's soft on America's enemies, huh? Yeah, he coddles bad guys, and now they're going to murder you in your bed. Any day now. Wait, nothing's happening. Oh, no. People are thinking socialist is good because we're calling Obama that. They think talking to foreign rulers is better than invading their countries for no good reason? Oh, God. Oh, God, the worst has happened. People are actually believing what they see and hear instead of what we're shouting at them. We're doomed! He's pouring rationality over all of us.
We're melting. We're melting. Oh, what a world. Oh, what a world. And your little dog, too.
Republican Party is just a little puddle now.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
A hat. With a hat.
Pointy with hat. A hat. With a pointy hat.
And a broom. A singed broom.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Could this be the reason? Finally, the headline is, Georgia candidate for governor says sex with mules and watermelons is all behind him.
What?
You know, you're kidding.
He unfortunately like he named Neil Horsley.
No!
Yep. He likes animals, as you know. Wow. This is a lot of right-wing crazy in one story. He's a Georgia Creationist Party candidate for governor. He's running on the secessionist platform. Horsley, if you recall, he wants a mule. He originally fessed up in an Esquire article, and then I think on Alan Combs' radio show. I remember that. Not only that, it gets a little graphic in the interview here, but not only that, Horsley has also had sex with men.
He's one of those homo types?
He was in the Air Force cold night. By the way, he said of that, it was gross. The mule was fine.
Okay, yeah. Okay, but, I read that. But
he said, I've a watermelon.
What?
And that's just for starters. I've had sex with pretty much everything that's physically possible to have sex with and some that isn't.
He's a horny mother, isn't
he?
Good Lord.
Okay, then we have more of his thoughts here.
You damn betcha put my Johnson in places that had not a gone. Mules, watermelons, other men, tractors, goldfish, my mom's lunch, my sister's prom corsage, you name it, and I'm proud to admit it. If you're a southern boy who was raised on a farm, you get the idea earlier there's a whole buffet of beastly things just spread out before you. It can be a sin to forego the pleasures of the flesh served up by our animal friends. It's turning your back on God's bounty. But that was then, and this is now. But I can take the skills I've learned and put them to good use. I'm a respectable politician, and now I can do all my screwing by proxy. Since I'm a religious fundamentalist, there's certain targets of opportunity I got my eye on. Public schools, bend over. Lesbian or gay or transgender, bend over. Pregnant, you about to get screwed again, little Nancy. Care by reason, law, civilization, and progress. Hell, you don't even have to bend over. I'm going to nail you from overhead. I'm God's tool, and I'm here to tell you he'll be using me to open you up and gut you like a trout. Hell, if you gets good to me, I just might make another little visit to the barn for old time's sake. Because for sure, if you elect me, you don't have the brains God gave a goose. Hey, geese, that honking can get mighty exciting. Excuse me, I have to make a campaign stop.
Okay, that's all for stand-up news.
You knew that was going to come to no good.
Oh, there's more fun facts in that article about the mule than I really needed to know. He had to,
what, did the mule like it?
He loved her. He says that she loved him, and he all you had to do was give her an ear of corn. And also one time she afterwards, this is the only embarrassing thing to him, is she relieved herself on him after the... Yeah, anyway, that's more than I really needed to... Yeah, but the sex with a man was, that was gross.
That was gross, yeah. Uh-huh. Was the mule dressed provocatively and dancing over a pinball machine?
The mule clearly wanted it. Clearly wanted it.
Okay.
Wow. If you want more of
that.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a banner ad. Tile ad on Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Stay away from queens or wild.
Okay.
It's very, very naughty.
All right.
Not for the kiddies.
No. All right, Arlene in Minneapolis on the president's press conference last night. Hey, Arlene.
Hey, I wanted to know you and the Mook's opinion on how President Obama answered that four-part question, especially the part about what has enchanted him in his first 100 days.
Yeah, I love that when he's just writing all that down.
Yeah,
let me write this down. Hang on.
And the part about how what enchanted him.
What did he say? I can't remember which. What was that answer?
Well, the answer was how he paid tribute to the military, the men and women in service.
Oh, okay.
He gave them due respect and honor. I mean, I thought it was really moving. And also, how do you think George W. would have answered that question about what enchanted him? I will hang up and listen to you guys.
Oh, all right. Oh. Then, well, she'll take our answer off the air. No further questions. All right. I just
enchanted. You know, like a Harry Potter kind of way?
I believe in witchcraft. Let's go to Patrick in Atlanta on swine flu. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, a couple of things really haven't been investigated in this. Number one, it bothers me when Smithfield, which is at the heart of this pig production, is saying that their place is okay and they're not polluted and they're not having a problem. But
right.
that's the heart of the issue. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the medicine coming out of there, the medicine that we sold to Mexico, for example, $100 million worth, comes from the Roche Corporation, which is where Rumsfeld used to be CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a known cure yet. So pharmaceutical stocks are up, pork stocks are down. So I don't think the real issues are being looked at here. We're looking at people that have the flu, but not really where it came from.
Mm.
Follow the money.
Perhaps there'll be a Jim Moore Conspiracy Corner on this sometime this week. Wouldn't that be something? Let's go to Scott in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hello, Scott.
Hey, I'm sorry, but I just don't see any real differences between the first 100 days of Obama and the Bush administration. And I am not a Bush fan.
Mm. You don't see any differences,
no.
Except that he pretty much enacted everything the opposite that George Bush did in his first 100 days.
He said he's going to close Guantanamo, but he hasn't shut down rendition, so we're just outsourcing our detention and our torture. There's no morality in that.
You can't shut down an entire prison overnight, sir.
No, he didn't shut down.
He has made moves to shut it down. He is.
We'll still abduct people. We'll still abduct them, and we'll turn them over to our allies to torture for us. That's like me saying, I won't kill my wife, but I might hire an assassin to do it. I mean, it's not a change. It's not a change.
I think shutting Gitmo is a change, and I think we are taking steps to do that. I think we are taking steps. We can't get out of Iraq tomorrow, but we are taking steps to get out of Iraq. He has lifted the ban on embryonic stem cell research.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Although
he has, whether you agree with
change.
The stimulus or not,
it's
a plan to do something.
The stimulus. Borrow money from the Chinese to pay for things we can't afford. There's no difference between that and what Bush did. It's identical.
Yes, there is. It is not identical.
The unsustainable.
Look, economists on both sides of the aisle think we have to spend to get out of this, to get out of this Bush economy.
Some economists.
Most economists.
Most economists.
If this thing was caused by a bursting credit bubble from people spending paper money that they didn't really have, that didn't exist because of values of homes, then what's the difference between that and the government spending money it doesn't have?
But that's not what caused it.
It's a credit bubble. It's just credit, and it's a credit bubble.
So what would you do to get us out of this economy?
To get out of this economy, first of all, we have got to stop spending more than we take in. We just got to slice the deficit. And yes, it's going to be painful, but it's going to be painful now, not for 100 years. It's
okay.
Not going to
that solves the deficit. It doesn't solve the stink bomb that is this economy.
If we have 40% unemployment, then the fact that the deficit has got will be completely meaningless.
Wow.
The country will shut down.
There's a new take on things. Barack Obama exactly like George Bush. Yeah. Wow. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more highlights of the president's press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. MSNBC's David Schuster coming up right after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Patrick in Los Angeles on the president. Hey, Pat.
Hi. Yeah, I would like to mention to that last caller that, you know, Ronald Reagan did this whole spending thing as well. And in specific, he made an argument about government spending versus social spending, that government spending would undergo the money multiplier system one more time, and said that in the end, it all pays for itself. Mm-hmm. So I find the Republicans very hypocritical.
Right, and he also said deficits don't matter.
Right.
Right, and now they're suddenly concerned about the deficit. Let's go to Bill in Colorado. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I had to respond to that guy as well. You know, the big thing with Obama and his tax cuts is they're going to infrastructure for the country, not tax cuts, or I'm sorry, for Obama's spending. It's going for tax cuts. Bush went for tax cuts for the country. Obama's trying to spend it on infrastructure for the country.
Right, that's which also creates jobs. So, correct. Yeah, exactly. It's not just spending for the sake of spending.
We're still using a lot of the stuff built during the WPA and other New Deal programs. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. John in Austin, Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Listen, I don't understand how these people think that you can undo 39 years of Reaganomics in 100 days. And there's nothing that moves more glacially than government. And and also, the guys like that previous caller, they always identify themselves as, oh, I'm no fan of Bush, or, no, I'm not a conservative, but yeah. it just doesn't wash.
Yep, I hear you. All right. The president, by the way, also does not want to run auto companies.
Yeah. And we have
FYI, Chrysler, by the way, is declared bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's breaking this morning. President Obama is actually going to be speaking about the auto companies in about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
The administration has given GM an additional month to present a restructuring plan. He said that they're still in the process of presenting us with another plan. I'd love to get the U.S. government out of the auto business as soon as possible, he said the president last
night. I think our first role should be shareholders that are looking to get out. I don't want to run auto companies. I don't want to run banks. I've got two wars I've got to run already. I've got more than enough to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They make it sound like this was his plan all along, you know. All right. And then he mentioned something our last caller talked about. The ship of state moves slowly.
Sobered by the fact that change in Washington comes slow. There is still a certain quotient of political posturing and bickering that takes place, even when we're in the middle of really big crises.
He also gave assurance that one way or another, Pakistan's nuclear arsenal would not fall in the hands of extremists. He said he was confident Pakistan would handle the issue on its own, but he left the door open to the U.S. taking action to secure the weapons if need be. He said he's gravely concerned about Pakistan's stability.
Yeah.
He called the Pakistani government very fragile right now. He pledged to provide all the cooperation we can and added we need to help Pakistan help Pakistanis. All right. That and much more we will discuss with David Schuster, one of our very personal favorites from MSNBC, on the president's press conference, his first 100 days, and swine flu, news breaking left and right. I have a helmet on. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pardon us, we're just watching Michelle Bachmann debate Joe Sestak on TV.
That's funny.
Oh. Like playing catch with a
deer. It's like, Stephen Hawking versus Corky from Life Goes On. That is, wow. Is
Stephanie Louise Miller.
That is entertaining television. Hey, she said something else stupid yesterday. We'll get to that later on in the show.
And her lips are moving now, so.
So I'm sure there'll be more later.
Stupid, crazy, stupid.
Speaking of entertaining television, if only there would be somebody highly entertaining from the TV. Yes! Who is it, Chris?
MSNBC's Dayside anchor, David Schuster.
Love him! Good morning,
wow.
David Schuster.
It's nice to be with you, Stephanie.
I'm sorry I have the sound down on Michelle Bachmann, so I can't tell you what you'll be reporting on later.
You know, I think every time Michelle Bachmann simply opens her mouth, we've got something to report on. I guess my question is she just an idiot or is she intend to be nuts? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, she the hate crimes bill yesterday, she compared gays to pedophiles because they're exactly the same, as you know.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that. One of these days, we've been getting so many requests from people who say, can you please do like a greatest hits of Michelle Bachmann? And I think we're actually going to move forward. I think we're going to do like a 7-minute piece next week.
Oh, cool.
We're just going to string back to back all of her nutty, crazy stuff.
Oh, so. Like that swine flu only happens in Democratic administrations, yeah. Like Gerald Ford's.
Right.
The other one
was when she talked about this Smoot-Hawley the other day and claimed that this was passed by FDR. And actually, Smoot-Hawley was named after two Republican senators, and it passed under Herbert Hoover.
Other than that, that's right on the money.
Oops.
As one of my favorite hosts, David Schuster, has often been heard to say, you're not entitled to your own facts. So what was your take on the press conference last night?
You know, I actually thought Obama was brilliant. I mean, it's just we're starting to hear from so many historians and people who say, you know, this is one of the brightest presidents, one of the most adept that we've had perhaps in our lifetime. And I think we see evidence of that every time he has one of these events. It's almost like the more varied the questions are, the tougher the questions are. It's like it hits him back even harder. And it's just, and he does it in a sort of a friendly nature. He's so informed. He's circumspect. He's articulate. He's thoughtful. And I think even for, you know, my friends who disagree, say, with a particular policy, they at least acknowledge, well, there's an intellectual basis. There's a rationale to why he's saying what he does. Now, you may disagree with that, but at least you have to respect the fact that he's thought it through and he's logical and he's got a basis for his argument.
He's
and
like that's anti-George just like
Bush. Such a dramatic change.
Well, you know, David, that's the thing I'm sure you hear all the time. Like, we go, oh, the press goes so easy on Obama. And that, when you watch these press conferences, David, that is not true. He gets tough questions. He's just a lot better at it than George Bush.
Yeah, he gets tough questions, and he takes more questions. I mean, if you compare the number of press conferences, he's got more press conferences in the first 3 months than Bill Clinton had in terms of primetime press conferences the first 4 years, more than George W. Bush the first 2 years. I mean, he's sat down with more media. He's taken more questions. He's had more press availabilities than George W. Bush and Bill Clinton combined at this stage in their presidency. And so the argument that, oh, somehow, you know, he's ducking the media or we're in his back pocket, I mean, he gets questions every day. And you think about the issues. He's got to know everything about the automotive industry. He's got to know things about the economy and why did GDP contract the way it did. He's got to know about Mexican flu. He's got to know about I mean, it's just the list goes on and on and on.
Yep. Did you hear this at the a little shout at our friends at the Fox News yesterday?
Those of you who are watching certain news channels that you know, on which I'm not very popular, and you see folks waving tea bags around, let me just remind them that I am happy to have a serious conversation about how we are going to cut our health care costs down over the long term.
You know, Fox is, I mean, I can go on and on and on about Fox. I mean, I think their approach to this has been, I mean, look, if Fox wants to consider themselves the GOP house organ, that's fine. They completely backed it up. When Fox starts describing themselves as journalists or a news organization, that's where I think it's appropriate to describe Fox as disgraceful. I mean, the set of rules, the set of standards that Fox pretends
to try to follow. I mean, it's just, I don't even know where to begin with Fox. It's just insanity. If you want to make an argument that, look, President Obama is socialist, prove it. Taking the tax rate for the wealthy from 36 to 39, is that socialist? Trying to, you know, save the banks by, you know, giving them more capital, money that the government's going to get back, is that socialist? Trying to lower health care? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I love Bill O'Reilly was screaming that nobody from Fox got to ask a question. And we were like, well, maybe if you carried the news conference, it might be more likely.
Right. I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead, David. Sorry.
I was going to say, no, Fox has just been brutal. I mean, their coverage on the Fox News channel has been atrocious. The stuff that comes out of Sean Hannity's mouth has been infuriating. The stuff that Bill O'Reilly says has been illogical. You go up and down the schedule, and it's insanity over there. And, you know, you can say, well, the American people, maybe the American people deserve some of the blame for being not so well informed about the issues of the day, and that's fine, but there's a problem when news organizations deliberately or intentionally mislead people and misinform the public and get them to think that, oh, Iraq was part of 9/11. Well, no. I mean, you go up and down the list, and the number of lies perpetuated, promoted by Fox News is just shameful, and it hurts everybody.
That being said, David, I think certainly Glenn Beck has taught journalists like you a thing or two that being weepier and crazier would certainly benefit you.
Oh, my God. Well, I was weeping when he started showing pictures of, you know, Nazi Germany marches. I mean, some of us actually have relatives who, you know, perished in World War II. And when a guy like Glenn Beck starts to make the argument that, oh, we're headed towards fascism, never mind that that's just insane. It also diminishes the real impact of what fascism was to so many American families 60, 70 years ago. And that's where it just makes me crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, David, the other, of course, breaking news today is that the swine flu has we're up to phase five now, according to the World Health Organization. What does this mean?
I think the World Health Organization has no idea what it's doing. I mean, great, look.
This isn't the color-coded terror alert system, is it?
Yeah, I mean, out of abundance of caution, fine. Raise it five, you want to raise it six, God bless you, go for it. Get everybody all freaked out. The problem is, it's not really a problem, is that the number of cases that pop up in America and the number of reports are, okay, the person had the swine flu, but now they've made a full recovery. Or, yeah, that person was sick for a few days, but now they've made a full recovery and they're back at work. The flu each year kills 50,000 people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, several hundred a day. But, you know, horrible, you know, a two-year-old dies in Texas. It's terrible. It's awful. But is that, you know, breaking news across all the cable channels and fears of a pandemic and millions of people are going to die? That's insanity.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's exactly. When you hear these numbers, you don't really know what they mean. It's us Spinal Tap fans are going, does it go up to 11? What what does this mean?
You know, have a flu and, you know, wash your hands and do all the things that your mother told you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Wash your hands, cover your mouth, and if you get sick, go see a doctor. I mean, that's, you know,
it's common sense.
Really frighten me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's basically everything your mom told you. That's
just like Michael Jackson. Put a mask on.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, little children have special instructions.
Yeah.
David, having covered a lot of presidents, how would you rate the first 100 days? I know it's an arbitrary measure, but.
Well, I think in my lifetime, there's never been anything like it. I mean, when you think about what he's been able to pass, what he's been able to get done, $800 billion stimulus plan, dealing with a number of crises, I mean, as a journalist, you just look up and say, these are historic times. I mean, not just that it's the first African-American president, it's historic for all of that, but we've never had a set of challenges face one president in the first 100 days, I think, in my lifetime. And I think you have to go back to the Great Depression and FDR to look at a time when there was so much pressure on a White House and so much danger, whether it's foreign policy dangers in Afghanistan and Pakistan, or whether it's economic dangers with the recession and things possibly getting worse and the banking crisis. I mean, there is so much going on, and there's so much serious stuff that's on his plate, and the way he's dealt with it, and you can argue that maybe he didn't do things as well, the policies weren't as well thought out, but he didn't have any time. I mean, there was no time to spend 3 or 4 months with a commission looking at the best way to try to figure out the banking crisis. He had to do something.
Well, like he said, he didn't have two or three things. He had 7 or 8 things that he had to deal with immediately.
And I think when you look at that, you know, look what's on his plate, and you look at how he's handled things, and I think the American people in this one, I think generally American people get it right, not always, but generally. And I think in this one, they're right. I mean, most Americans feel like the country is now going in the right direction. That's a dramatic turnaround from 4 or 5 months ago. And yet, people are still very nervous about their own economic situation, but they have faith that eventually we're going to get there, that we're on the right track. And I think the American people are actually a lot more patient now than most members of the media and a lot of at least the mainstream media who want things done and want things solved immediately. No, most people get that it takes time. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think people see that we're on the right track.
Well, that's right. That's our job, is to be hysterical over a different issue every day. We need to, fill time. Let me get your take real quick before you go on. Arlen Specter, a game changer or not? Is he not going to, you know, the president said he won't be a rubber stamp. What do you think?
I go with a colleague, Mike Murphy, Republican strategist. He and I disagree on a lot of things, but I think on this one, at least his political analysis is absolutely correct. Arlen Specter is looking up at a 2010 possible Democratic challenger in the Democratic primary. At the moment, the Democratic Party said, look, we're not going to run anybody against you. Well, that tends to put a lot of pressure on Arlen Specter when it comes to a series of close calls in terms of votes. And I think if he strays from the Democratic Party line or he doesn't allow the Democrats to invoke cloture, then I think the pressure becomes on him because the Democrats might run somebody from Pennsylvania, like a Joe Sestak. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, Joe Sestak is pissed, and he just took it out on Michelle Bachmann, and that's going to be good fun.
So I think there's a great incentive for Arlen Specter to stay in line. I think he will stay in line, which is a problem for Republicans because I think he's more of a sure vote for Democrats in a whole host of issues than he was until 2 days ago. And I think also because when the Republicans are headed towards becoming a regional party, which is white evangelicals, ultra-religious in the South, predominantly, and that's it, and they can't reach out to a place like Pennsylvania, and they don't have moderates really anywhere else but Maine.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's a huge problem, a huge problem for the GOP.
Yep. David Schuster, I love you in a way that is
Stephanie.
And
if you loved
me back, you would certainly say to the MSNBC bosses, you know, the only liberal radio host without a TV show now,
Stephanie.
All right.
But you know, things have a way of changing pretty quickly sometimes.
That is true.
News, and things will come around, and you will get your opportunity before you know it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, David Schuster.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All
take
right,
care.
There we go. That's right. Yay. Graphics can change just like that. Oh, in fact, Shano did a fabulous piece that's on StephanieMiller.com about getting Mama a show on MSNBC.
Scroll down closer to the bottom of the homepage there, and you'll see Shano's wonderful promo to get Stephanie.
My head magically appears right next to Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann and Rachel.
Although,
and Ed.
I think whatever time slot you're gunning for, David Schuster's also gunning for. Yeah. I think that's why he may have sounded a little uncomfortable there.
On guard.
chuckled to my face, and he'll stab me in the back later today.
On guard. Bitch.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the right wing screaming about the press conference last night as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Buffalo with an Insta review of the president's press conference last night. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning,
love you much.
I love you, too.
You had a short clip of how wonderfully eloquent our president is, where he said he was not satisfied, you know, that he was satisfied, but he's not. Can you run that real quick?
Sure. This is like me trying to do the whole Iraq quote about how we have to get out of Iraq as carefully as we got in. See what happens?
Yeah, one of those.
Okay, yeah.
We have a lot of work left to do. It's work that will take time, and it will take effort. But the United States of America, I believe, will see a better day. We will rebuild a stronger nation. And we will endure as a beacon for all those weary travelers beyond our shores who still dream that there's a place where all this is possible.
I don't know if that was it, but what I wanted to say was we have to be as careful getting out of Iraq as we were careless getting in.
Right. And he also said that he was pleased, but he wasn't satisfied.
Right.
And so I'm going to incorporate that into my own life. I'm out of bed, but I'm not awake. I have my coffee, but my cup's not full. I have a job, but I'm not wealthy.
Dave, stop. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to leave the eloquence to Obama. Let's go to Jeff in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
The links and the conclusions that the Republicans are making over this torture issue really reveals who they are. There are links between patriotism and moralism. There are links between the economy on other issues and political ideology. Reveals really what I think they are, and that is a party that believes that virtue and morality reside in institutions and a person and not in the people that run them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're really invoking here, it's kind of the divine rights of kings, that the president shouldn't be put on trial because, you know, not for moral reasons, because that's anti-patriotic. Not, you know, you don't want to disgrace the institutions that are moral and just.
Yeah, like George Bush didn't disgrace the institution by ordering something illegal.
Right. And
exactly.
These links that they're making are so disturbing that I think America is finally waking up and seeing what they really are.
I hope so. All right. Dick Morris on Riley last night.
This is your chance to assess the state of mind of the Washington Press Corps, most important group of journalists in the country. Let's count it. Two questions on waterboarding, one question on abortion, one question on immigration reform, one question on how the minorities are being impacted by the stimulus package. No questions about nationalizing the banks. He answered that, but at the very end there was one that obliquely. Nothing challenging him on the economy. Nothing going after him and challenging on the overflight of New York City. Nothing going after him. Not even a strong question about closing the border. They didn't do a follow-up.
Excuse me. He said the medical professionals don't advise closing the border because it's already here.
Yes.
The swine flu we're referring to. Like the stupid flyby in New York is the most impressing issue for American families, for God's sakes. He's apologized.
Yeah.
They said it was a mistake.
It was
please.
Yeah,
that's the biggest story affecting people's lives.
It was a pressing issue for the people that live in Manhattan, and that's just about it.
And the mistake wasn't doing it. It was the city not telling people that
exactly.
It was going to be
yes.
Had they known what was coming up, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Dick Morris has tricked us into talking about this as opposed to...
And you know what's really disingenuous?
What is he talking about? They did ask him tough questions about the economy, about everything else.
I know. And you know what's really disingenuous about the O'Reilly factor last night after the president's
everything?
Speech? Well, he had on, right-winger after right-winger after right-winger after right-winger to completely trash what Obama said. The only Democrat he had on was Alan Combs. He had one Democrat compared to, I think it was about eight far-right lunatics.
Uh-huh. Yes, mm-hmm. The O'Reilly on the
He speaks so long after the questions that you forget what question you asked.
Mm.
You do. You forget it.
He's tricky.
Isn't that a technique?
Yeah.
Right? That they say, look, Mr. President, you've got an hour. We'll get 13 presidents. You bloviate so they can't follow up and they forget what they asked in the first place. And you take it all over the place. So, if the guy starts to interrupt you, he looks like O'Reilly.
Mm. Yeah, I see. Because he gives sort of thoughtful and sometimes nuanced and complex answers. That's O'Reilly's a little befuddled by that. By the way, the president was asked about the disquiet over his invitation from Notre Dame University to speak at commencement.
Right.
I thought this was important. He said, the reason I'm pro-choice is because I don't think women take that position casually. I think they are in a better position to make these decisions than members of Congress or presidents of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, I was hearing some pundits talk about he went out of his way to use the term pro-life, which is a sign of respect for the other side, which a lot of people took note of, mm-hmm. because, again, a complex and nuanced issue that he's trying to find common ground on. Reverend Wallace told us yesterday, this conference at the White House, trying to find ways to reduce abortions, which
exactly.
we all can agree on.
O'Reilly called Obama's abortion answer wishy-washy last night.
You got to be for it or against it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no nuance.
Let's go to Buddy.
He's
in
not
Columbus.
Even old aunts.
Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Fun Buns. Two things.
Yes.
Number one, how great is it to have a president that when I listen to it, I know he's damn smarter than me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
you're not sitting there going, come on, now what's the next word? What's the next word? He takes it nuanced. And also, in really good news, all of New England is now gay friendly.
Woohoo!
Even Rhode Island?
Even Rhode Island.
Wow.
But you can't get there from here.
From New Hampshire to Bangor to Worcester, you can drive your car.
Bangor?
Now
I just met her.
Queer friendly.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we will talk about that crazy Michelle Bachmann's comments on the hate crimes bill.
Yeah.
As the show progresses, let's go to Chris in Chicago on the president. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I think the president was a little disingenuous last night when he said that he didn't want to be in the business world and he doesn't know anything about running car companies and banks.
He didn't say anything about not knowing how to run car companies.
He said he doesn't want to be in the business. You think that any president really wants to come in and have the banks and the car companies in disarray and want to have to?
Some of the banks tried to get back the money they were given, and they were told that they couldn't, they weren't allowed to do that.
Which banks?
They had to keep the money.
Which banks?
I couldn't tell you specifically which bank.
I don't think so. He didn't research that.
No, he didn't. Right. You can't throw out generalities out there without going into some specifics.
There's a guy who did the thing by the planes that time.
You know what? When they wither under the first question, I just dispense with them entirely. All right. Because then it's just not going to be fun, is it, even as a cat toy. All right. Tinsel Talk is what?
Jennifer Palmieri.
And Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Tons and tons of breaking news this morning, but of course none bigger than Mama rescued a puppy yesterday. Mama's got a puppy. Hi, Stephanie and Madison.
Hi, Steph. Congratulations on Joey.
I gave birth yesterday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm back at work the next day.
Oh, well, cool.
And thank yet you've maintained your figure.
My girlish figure.
Yes.
Yeah, I rescued a 10-week-old Great Pyrenees Tibetan Mastiff puppy yesterday to be Max's new playmate.
Oh, darling.
Anyway, we'll have pictures up tomorrow, we hope, and it'll make you pop your own head off.
Oh, gosh. Remember how Bush would just stammer and, just strain for words to say?
Yes.
He's just slaughtered the English language along the way. And I'm just amazed how smart Obama is.
Yeah. In fact, I watched it with Joey, and he did that dog head cock to the left, and I think that's what he was thinking. He was like, huh. This doesn't seem like a presidential press conference. All right. The president, of course, press conference on the first 100 days. A little different views on the left and the right. Nancy Pelosi.
Someone asked me what mark would I give the president in his first 100 days. I'd definitely give the president an A.
Uh-huh. That's what I say. John Kyle, Republican from Arizona.
This will go down in history as the most expensive 100 days for the American people.
Sure.
All right. Meanwhile, the swine flu has been upgraded to a 5 level. It's not a pandemic yet, but it only goes up to 6. Kathleen Sebelius, our new Health and Human Services Secretary.
Very sad news coming out of Texas.
Oh, excuse me. That's not Kathleen Sebelius.
No, it's not.
That's Dr. Richard Besser, the acting CDC chair, talking about the first death in the United States.
Very sad news coming out of Texas that a child has died from the H1N1 virus. As a parent and a pediatrician, my heart goes out to the family.
Breaking news just left and right. If only there was someone who was always on top of everything. Who is it, Chris?
It's the Senior Vice President of Communications for the Center for American Progress, Jennifer Palmieri.
We love her. Jennifer, so nice to have you back.
Hilarious. I know you to be here. Thank you, Stephanie.
I know you had a migraine last time you were supposed to be on. I'm not sure if I gave you one, which I'm known to do.
Yeah, no, I don't think you were the cause of it.
It's not me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to report that I'm fully. That was a bad one, but I'm fully recovered now.
Good. What was your first impression? Highlights of the press conference last night.
My favorite was the Jeff Zeleny question about the president was trouble. What he found surprising, troubling, enchanting,
right.
And humbling.
Yes, the four part question he had to write down.
Right.
To me, and I could be crazy, but that seemed very significant what he said about torture last night, wasn't it? I mean, he unequivocally said waterboarding is torture.
It's torture. Right, and it was funny to me as somebody who I worked in the Clinton press office to watch. I mean, this president is so straightforward in how he deals with issues and how he answers questions, and the press is still in the mindset of trying to do a gotcha, like, let's get him to try to admit that he thinks the United States committed torture. Well, of course he thinks that. He's been saying that for 3 years, but they're always trying to look for that, like, one moment that they can get him on tape with a gotcha. And, it just doesn't happen.
Well, he said that yesterday, too. He said, we did everything I said I was going to do. this isn't some like sinister plot.
There's still, the press is still trying to catch up, and the Republicans are still trying to catch up, that this president sort of operates in a different universe.
How would you rate the first 100 days?
Well, I don't see how you can't not agree with Nancy Pelosi in this case and give him an A. I mean, that doesn't mean that he'll be able to sustain this, but I'm not sure what you could point to in the first 100 days and say, wow, he really should have handled this differently, or he really should have tackled this problem and didn't. I mean, everything from everything from the stimulus, you know, starting to deal with financial regulations. He pretty much opened up a dialogue on all of the major issues abroad as well, right? In that one trip,
right? Yeah,
China, well, Russia, the G20, trying to go to Turkey to start repairing our relationship with the Muslim world. North Korea. He's really, and now it's a good start. And I understand, and I think that sort of miraculously, the American people are being really patient about expecting results. But
his numbers are pretty amazing. People that don't agree with absolutely everything he's doing, 81% like him.
You know, Jimmy Carter did have the same approval rating at this point.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for raining on our parade.
Well, I just think that it's good to be, I think that it's, I think it's good to be sobering, right? I mean, because it would be easy to get carried away that he is so popular and doing well. And I think that was part of what he was trying to do last night, because I think sort of a unintended manifestation of all the great press that they've gotten on the 100 days is that I think that now expectations are high again. And even though he's done really great, I think they're always careful to remind people it's still going to be a long while before you see the recovery start, before you see unemployment not growing. It's probably going to, tomorrow the unemployment rate will come out tomorrow again. And so Carter was coming off of Nixon, so everybody...
Right. Well, they passed...
Obama's coming off of Bush,
And they passed the budget yesterday. And Nancy Pelosi said it's a budget that reduces taxes, lowers the deficit, and creates jobs. It honors the three pillars of the Obama initiatives, energy, health care, and education.
Right. And Republicans still can't say that he's raised taxes because he still hasn't.
I know. Right? I know. Well, that was among other things that made the teabagging so confusing, is that he just cut taxes for 95% of Americans.
Well, please point to the tax increase that you find most troubling.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one is it?
Now the Arlen Specter story. The president said last night, it will not suddenly give him a rubber stamp Senate. What is your take on it?
Yeah, I think that it's a mixed bag. I think it's definitely a positive development. This is good news. But Arlen Specter,
Not your favorite Democrat thus far?
Well, not my favorite. I mean, he is, I did love, by the way, I saw the Democratic Senate campaign's website yesterday, and sure enough, they have him in the list of Democratic senators for re-election in 2010.
We're better at the web than they are. We know how to...
We are far better at the internets than the other side.
Yes.
He's, I guess, a nice way to put it, very flexible.
Yeah, we could get some important votes on health care and other really big things.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could claim he's a Democrat and never vote with the president on an important vote. I think the thing that I think it's smart of the White House to fully embrace him, say they're going to raise money for him, all of that, he's one of the better, easier votes for them to get. He might be easier to get than some Democrats, but
right.
He didn't make any assurances, and even if he had, you know, he also made assurances that he would support Employee Free Choice Act and then walked away from it. You know, it's not as if you could go to the bank with what he promised, but he didn't promise very much. To me, the big thing would be if he would come out and actively support health care, in addition to having a better shot at getting 60 votes, that alone would be worth it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Because he was the guy that did the big chart in '93 to make the Clinton health care plan appear to be uber, uber complicated, which was one of the first things that John Podesta said when he heard about. You know, my boss here, when he heard about Spectre, was, I guess he's going to have to get a new chart maker.
Maybe whoever used to do Ross Perot's is probably available.
If he would have a lot of credibility. If he came out and said, this is a good plan, this protects choice, this means
right.
If you like the doctor you have, you can keep it. If you like the health care plan you have, you can keep it. That would go a long way.
Yep, absolutely. Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress, thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Pleasure, as always.
All right,
yay.
There she goes. Now, here's the deal. I got a guy I hadn't been working in years.
Wait a minute. We need the world's best Ross Perot impressionist.
All right, we'll get her after the break.
Okay.
Rebecca Baker is. I know. I tried to steal her act. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Catherine Zeta-Jones to star as Susan Boyle.
What? The YouTube
yes.
Britain's Got Talent lady?
That's going to take some
makeup.
Hours and hours of makeup.
Flabbercast or whatever that is. Zeta-Jones has inquiring about the rights to produce and presumably star in a biographical film of the Scottish spinster turned superstar.
Wow.
We have, who do we have?
Nigel Tubthump.
Yes, on this story.
Hey, good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tubthump, founder, director, and chairman of the board of the Corporation for Broadcasting Ludicrous Casting Choices. My dear, dear Catherine Zeta-Jones, don't you realize we don't want to see you play a homely woman on screen just because you want to prove you can? We want to see you play a gorgeous woman on screen because it distracts us from the homeliness we see in the mirror every day. Let the homely people play the homely people. It's just about their only chance, and it's a little selfish to take that away from them, don't you think? If you think about it, would you go to see a movie that used reverse casting? For example, say, Janet Reno playing Marie Antoinette? Or Dennis Franz playing John F. Kennedy? Right, I thought not. We want Velma Kelly's plucked eyebrows and svelte curvaceous figure, not Susan Boyle's Andy Rooney impression and Mark Kettle booty. Let's give ourselves a little perspective. For the duration of the shoot, we'll insist that Michael Douglas have to bed Susan instead of you. And who knows, maybe she knows more about the arts of love than you think, and old Mikey might not want to go back to his wonderful Welsh woman. Now, that would be some real casting against type. I smell Oscar! Cheerie bye.
And finally, the headline is Woody Allen wins in court against American Apparel.
Hmm.
He does not have to justify his opinion that American Apparel's sexually charged ads are sleazy, a judge ruled.
They kind of are.
Well, he doesn't have to prove
okay.
it.
Okay,
but he doesn't have to look at
the clothing company had demanded that the filmmaker back up his claim by identifying which of its ads he meant. But a Manhattan federal judge ruled that Allen had shown that he would not have voluntarily agreed to endorse American Apparel's products on two unauthorized billboards 2 years ago. Allen is suing the firm for more than $10 million in damages. He said in a deposition last year he found American Apparel's ads sexually gross in a witless and infantile way. Okay, we have the rest of the Woodman, so...
Like I said before, American Apparel's ads are sexually gross in a witless and infantile way, which, ironically, is exactly the way the critics describe most of my movies. And, of course, my choice in stepdaughter. I need sex partners. Of course, I'm not a prude by any means. In fact, I requested copies of American Apparel ads displaying scantily clad women to prepare my case. Unfortunately, my lawyers never actually saw them because the pages were stuck together. Hey, don't mock masturbation. Sex with someone you love. Actually, they wanted me to identify which of their ads were especially sleazy and gross, disgusting, witless and infantile, and a mockery of a travesty of a sham, of two mockeries of a sham. By far the most obnoxious was a lurid picture of Scarlett Johansson getting it on with Penelope Cruz in a rainstorm after they've been rolling around in Boston cream pie filling. Tumescent nipples glistening in the... Oh, wait. That was an outtake from Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Don't look for it in the extra section of the DVD. I kept that one for myself. After all, sex between two people is a beautiful thing. Provided you've got the right two people. Between five, it's fantastic.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul the Roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Thailand, Stephanie Miller website. StephanieMiller.com.
Thank you. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and the highlights and the breaking news on torture and much more from the president's press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, Jennifer Balmieri was saying John Podesta said yesterday that Arlen Specter is going to have to get a new chart maker.
Yes.
Because he was the one that made those charts that made Hillary's health care look much more confusing than it actually was.
Yes.
And I said, I think Ross Perot has a chart maker. And then I stole Rebecca Baker's Ross Perot impression. So here now, associate producer Rebecca Baker. Rightful owner of the best Ross Perot impression.
How dare you steal my shtick?
Go ahead, Here it comes.
Pie chart over here. You want your job to go to China? That's a long commute to go to China.
Thank you, Rebecca. All right, that's when Jim doesn't show up because of whatever reason, yeah. That's what you get.
Rebecca, you voted for Ross Perot, didn't you? Oh, okay.
Oh, she made an old joke about you. She was too young.
I voted for Ross Perot.
So there, old man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Terry in San Francisco on the president. Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment that I heard your earlier. My partner and I actually have just re-registered as Republicans because Obama scares me to death.
Why is that?
First of all, he's outspent in his first 100 days. He has spent so much money that we're going to end up paying for. Kirk and I are both physicians.
Who is going to pay for George Bush's deficit that we started with? I mean, how do you suggest we try
this is his issue.
Oh, dear.
This is his. You know, and what is one of the things that
he's
really
cleaning up after a mess that the previous administration left him.
See, and this is the problem, is that you can't argue anything about Obama. And this is what I have found out because I actually just switched party lines because I am so tired of people saying to me, I didn't vote for Obama, I voted for Hillary. I did not vote in the election because I didn't like either one of them.
Well, do you disagree with the president? I mean, he said basically, I mean, he's clearing the wreckage, you know, from this last administration economically.
Right. See, he can say whatever he wants to say because he walked into the perfect storm. He walked into an economic situation that was going in the toilet.
Right.
And so now he can outspend anybody he wants and blame it on the previous administration. He can do anything he wants. And then what I have said so far that
Terry, he's not doing it just because he feels like it. He has cited economists on both sides of the aisle that have said we need to spend to try to stimulate this economy.
He is creating a socialist government.
Okay. You're a freeper, Terry. You're a freeper. Using freeper terminology like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Which guest was it earlier that said
it was so obvious.
To go from a 36% to 39% tax rate, that's socialism?
Yeah.
But that is not.
Back to Ronald. Before, I mean,
they're paying less tax than under Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Yeah. People who accuse President Obama of socialism don't understand the real definition of socialism.
You wouldn't have people like Tim Geithner and Larry Summers in your administration if you were a socialist. It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, but then he's a Nazi.
Okay, shut up.
All right. We have, okay, reaction on the first 100 days from the left and the right. Arlen Specter reaction from the left and the right. And a Scotch Moore celebrity stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A little tart like that could save you a fortune in prostitutes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dan in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dan.
Hey there. You know, everybody's complaining and moaning about how much money Obama has spent, but I haven't really heard any viable alternatives. The only answer seems to be, well, we should have lowered taxes instead. Or one person said, you know, we should do what Ireland did, lower taxes.
First of all, he did lower taxes on 95% of the...
It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Every one of those callers that calls, Dan, I say, what is your plan? And they don't seem to have one.
I guess we could have tried what Hoover did, which is, you know, do nothing for 5 years. And
yeah, exactly. Keep doing what we're doing. Rich in San Francisco on socialism. Hi, Rich.
Hey, I just want to show how smart we are here on the West Coast.
Yes.
Socialism, when it affected the European countries, it was the government taking over viable businesses right. that were producing and had plenty of money, and they just said, we want it, we take it, it belongs to us now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
In no instance did the companies who were failing put their hand out and say, please help us.
Right.
So I think so many people are missing the fact of what socialism is by the way that the people who were involved in it, the government and the businesses,
yes.
got this thing started.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think the president is being sincere when he's saying, I do not want to be in the business of running banks or automobile companies. Let's go to Jaina in Everett, Washington. Yes, Jaina.
Hi. I wanted to call about the Freeper that was on a little earlier, talking about how they didn't vote for Obama. Mm-hmm. You know what? I didn't vote for Bush, and I had to endure. We all had to endure him for 8 years.
Right.
And you know what? I love my president, Barack Hussein Obama.
That's right.
All right. There you go.
Would you like a fun fact about socialism?
Yes, I certainly would. Thank you, Christopher.
According to Merriam-Webster, socialism is any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Or a system of society or group living in which there is no private property.
Ha. Huh.
That doesn't sound like what Obama is doing.
Like
ha-ha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Oh, you missed that part of the press conference where they said, give me all your houses.
Yeah.
I think actually what he said, Jim, was when I come to get your gun, I will take your house
right.
too.
Yeah. And your goods and possessions.
And your children. Okay.
And your Ovaltine.
Exactly.
And your Ego.
Exactly.
Lego by Ego!
Lego!
All right. By the way, a little celebrity stack. I'm not sure if this is good timing, but Michael Douglas says they're doing a Wall Street 2. They're doing a remake of Wall Street.
Is it a remake or a sequel?
Because
sequel.
Greed is good. Greed works until it
be a sequel, yeah.
doesn't anymore in the whole global economy.
Greed is good
collapses.
Up to a point for some people.
All right. Hey, here's something that will surprise you, Jim. It turns out some right-wingers kind of dumb as stumps.
Huh. What was your first clue?
Study finds conservative viewers of Stephen Colbert's comedy show think he's on their side.
Yeah.
No!
Stop.
No!
Stop.
Oh, dear. God.
Yes, I agree with that.
Even
You're
when
right,
they're
Stephen.
Getting stabbed in the back with a really sharp chef's knife.
What a bunch of morons.
A new academic study shows liberals get that he's sending up Fox News host Bill O'Reilly and his ilk. Our results aren't that conservatives don't get the joke. It's how you see the joke depends on who you are. If you're conservative, you think the joke's on liberals because he's openly making fun of liberals.
Wow.
The paper suggests conservative viewers
really
weren't quite comprehending
yeah.
the satire that Colbert employs.
See, that's when it hurts you not to get nuance.
God, that's why Republicans just aren't good at comedy.
Right.
They write, conservatives not only process the messages as targeting liberals, but also process the source as being conservative, Republican, and disliking liberals. By contrast, liberals perceive Colbert as just kidding.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, he's
that's amazing. It's like they're a different species or something. They don't...
They are irony deficient, as we pointed out.
What is this comedy you use on your planet?
Which is why the half-hour news
I
hour...
I find it puzzling.
just went down in flames. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, bat crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann has opened her mouth again, and so there is
comedy.
Inadvertent comedy. Yeah. Yes.
It's the best kind.
So the hate crimes bill passed. Is the good news. Michelle Bachmann spoke, which is the bad news.
Wrong Michelle. That's completely different Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gay victims of violence would gain new federal protections under a revived and expanded hate crimes bill passed by the House over conservatives' objections. Conservatives like this. She says the bill would protect pedophiles from hate crimes.
What?
She said, and I quote, apparently people who are practicing pedophiles would be considered protected under this legislation, but
what?
Not, I understand, veterans, not, I understand, pregnant women, not, as I understand, 85-year-old grandmothers would be protected under this law. Who would be protected? A pedophile. Someone who considers themselves gay. Someone who considers themselves transgender. Someone who considers themselves a cross-dresser. That's who's protected.
Have you seen her husband, by the way?
Wow. Yes, I have.
Hi there. He's,
is he fabulous?
He's got a fabulous 1,000-watt smile. And I bet he buys our lovely pantsuits.
Yeah, and if you don't think so, you're bastard people, frankly. Here's a...
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
How do you even start with an argument like that? How do you even...
Just as for a little fun fact, Royals, pedophilia is not considered a sexual orientation, a disability, or a gender identity. It's actually a criminal act.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. She also spoke out against BachmannWatch.com, where you can...
Yeah.
See the latest stupid things she said? She said it's the latest attempt to discredit every word out of my mouth and to paint out anyone who disagrees with the liberal agenda sweeping through Washington as an extremist.
No. It's to point out what an idiot you are.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You personally.
The Democrats are gunning for me because I refuse to shrink from a fight.
No, because you're an idiot.
No, it's because, exactly. Yes, as I stated earlier. No, actually, I love having a fight with her because she comes armed with no facts of any kind.
Exactly.
Yes.
There was something a lot more awful on the floor of the House yesterday during the hate crimes bill debate.
By the way, Matthew Shepard's mother was there.
Representative Virginia Fox from North Carolina, far-right lunatic, said that the murder of Matthew Shepard was a hoax. To justify passing hate crimes.
She said it was a robbery.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And Judy Shepard was sitting there listening to that.
Wow.
She was the worst person in the world last night.
Yeah.
Okay. Barack Obama urged support for the bill, saying it would enhance civil rights protections while also protecting our freedom of speech and association. The House bill added protections based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whom we love, a supporter of the bill, contended it was protection for gays that drove the opposition. She said, I wonder if our friends on the other side of the aisle would be singing the same offensive tune if we were talking about hate crimes based on race or religion. It seems to me it is the category of individuals that they are offended by rather than the fact that we have hate crime laws at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, hear. Thank you. Yeah. Once again, the arguments on the other side don't really make any sense. Several Republicans argue that church leaders could face charges for speaking out against homosexuality.
No.
No.
What? No. Hate
That's
crime
a lie.
Is a crime. It's a violent crime against somebody.
Hitting someone over the head with a crowbar,
there is a
for example.
Section of the bill that protects any activities protected by the Constitution. Nothing would prevent religious readers from speaking out.
If they're exhorting people to go kill gay people because they're gay, that's a different thing.
Yes.
That's, yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Get this. Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, said the bill divides America by signaling out special groups for protection.
Oh.
See, that's divisive, us saying, gee, maybe you shouldn't kill gay people because they're gay. Okay. He said we should focus on the opposite, uniting America. The bill is probably unconstitutional.
What?
Steny Hoyer countered, saying, we in America have said we believe all people ought to be treated equally. If America stands for anything, it stands for equality under
that's
the
right.
law. Thank you, Steny Hoyer.
Whom we know.
Quite well. All right. These Republicans. Mike Pence, Republican of Indiana, on the first 100 days of the Obama
administration. Just 100 days. A new administration and this Democratic majority have decided to continue and to greatly expand the mistakes of the past.
Mm-hmm. By pretty much reversing every Bush administration policy, I see he's continuing to do the same thing. Sean Hannity on the first 100 days. This will be
I believe he has moved America away from a free market capitalist economy down the road to socialism in a very dangerous way. And that will result in less prosperity.
And I believe that
on national security, he has gone way beyond a pre-9/11 mentality and weakened our homeland security.
I believe you're an idiot.
And thanks for playing Grasping for Straws.
And where in there was a solution for the huge mess George Bush
hasn't proposed one?
President Obama?
I don't.
Still waiting.
You know, I'm not trying to go back to the Colbert study about right-wingers because, you know, Sean Hannity has an audience. So presumably there are people that want to hear him repeat the same thing every night. Just saying. Want to hear the same socialism, 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 every
communism, Nazism, socialism, fascism,
Benedict Spector.
It's those, well, as O'Reilly says, they have, he has the smartest viewers, you know, the very smart viewers that enjoy Bill O'Reilly.
All right,
they don't, like Carl.
All right, then. I bet you like biscuits and mustard. I like that.
All right.
All right, damn.
God, we haven't done that in about 4.5 years.
Magical little tableau.
Yeah. Billy Bob Thornton hasn't done it even longer.
Right? Yeah.
And a Fox viewer. 44 minutes after the hour.
I reckon I like mustard on a Kaiser roll. Some people call it a sling blade.
All right. The impact
of meat.
Of the Arlen Specter defection as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Mom on the Moogie Mook.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to tell you how this is going to play out. This happened with Clinton. They started yelling socialism when Clinton first came into office. And during his economic recovery, first they said it would never last. Then they said it was all due to the previous Bush administration's economic strategies that really turned everything around. It had nothing to do with what Clinton did. And we're going to hear the same thing when the economy turns around and we're Obama. It's just the way they play it. Nothing's ever their fault, but they won't take credit for anything that's good.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to, where are we? Nicola in Berkeley. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the president as well. Hello.
Hi, Steph. It's difficult for someone with ADD to really pull it together for you, but I'm going to try.
Thank you.
First of all, I have to say you are a great American.
Thank you.
And my issue is I never hear anybody talking about the other side of overspending, which is the investment that we're supposed to be getting some benefit out of this that will put us back on the road to prosperity. All we hear about is the spending.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to urge my fellow members of the Democratic Socialists of America to push Barack Obama from the left a little bit harder, and then maybe we can get the prosperity that we all deserve.
All right. If we actually had socialism, it might be better.
Yeah.
Let's go to Barbara in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, hi, Steph. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Barb.
I enjoy listening to you, and you are always so calm and cool when these Republicans call, and I always, you know, learn from that because I can't do that.
You know the reason for that, Barbara, because I'm drunk.
I'm sorry, what stuff?
Because I'm drunk. All right, go ahead.
The secret.
Yes.
But may I just add also that I think in order for our society to run, we need to have a happy society, and the spending is going to provide that in whatever ways it can, and it benefits everybody, and the Republicans just don't seem to get it, Steph.
Yep, I hear you, honey. All right. The breaking news, I thought, from last night, the president's comments on torture.
We could have gotten this information in other ways. I believe that waterboarding was torture, and I think that the whatever legal rationales were used, it was a mistake. It corrodes the character of a country.
Fred in Chicago on torture. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I got several comments made, but briefly, what the right doesn't understand is the question about the waterboard is not so much whether it's torture or not. It's whether the president broke the law, which makes him a dictator. I mean, once presidents start breaking laws, you know, that's the scary part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. Look, I'm just a layperson here, but yeah. The president last night said waterboarding is torture. The Bush administration ordered torture. So how is that not illegal?
Yeah, right. You know.
Exactly. All right, honey. By the by, I forgot to mention the, what's his name, Judge Bybee? The one that
yes.
You remember he wrote that famous memo. It stated that the federal anti-torture statute is only prohibiting pain equivalent to organ failure.
Right. Yeah.
Or death. That's the only thing that would be considered torture.
Anything short of that is fine.
Yes, it's good. He was asked to provide Senate testimony on the memos he approved while at the Justice Department. Pat Leahy, chairman of the Judiciary, explained in a letter to Bybee that by testifying, Bybee could explain his views on the Bush administration's interrogation policy and the role that he played.
Yeah, I'd like some clarification of that, please.
I certainly would, too. By the way, the other breaking news this morning, of course, the swine flu has been... I don't know what, upgraded to five. We're
the
level five.
Pandemic level has been upgraded.
Yes,
pandemic
to level five. I believe
yes.
We have Kathleen Sebelius, the new Health and Human Services Secretary, talking about what we're
currently,
doing.
Currently, the FDA and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are developing virus reference strains. The information regarding a virus that's necessary to develop a vaccine. And today, there are a series of steps that HHS is taking in that vaccine development.
Here's the good news. Could I have some happy music, please? The swine flu, Jim, has given us a really cool new computer game called Swine Fighter.
Great.
An internet computer game aimed at tackling the global spread of swine flu is enjoying huge popularity among users. Swine Fighter's popularity has come on the back of the global panic. The game, which is, cha-ching, cha-ching. The game gives players the task of wiping out the virus because it's gotten out of control. The player is a doctor with a huge needle who in 20 seconds needs to inject as many smiling green pigs as possible before they fly off to infect different countries. If the doctor successfully inoculates the green pig, then it oinks, turns pink, and disappears. The winner is the one who's able to wipe out as many green flying pigs at the...
You can't stop swine...
This
isn't
actually going to start.
You can't
stop
the swine flu by injecting pigs.
I know. That's why...
Well,
Right, it's a game.
Also, the American pork producers would like to point out that you don't catch swine flu from eating pork.
Mm.
If you cook
Americans, we've fallen behind a little bit at the whole, you know, science thing and the grades, but boy, we're good at the game. We're good at the video games. I stuck that pig. All right. The repercussions still being felt from Arlen Specter switching to the Democratic Party, the president last night.
I have told him that he will have my full support in the Democratic primary. Joe Biden has said the same thing. We are confident that Arlen Specter is going to get a sixth term in the Senate, and the American people are going to be better off for it.
Unless...
Unless he votes against President Obama's budget.
Yeah. And then,
Joe Sestak
is looking pretty good. Uh-huh. The president.
I don't expect that Senator Specter will agree with every decision I make.
But he better.
And support every single one of those policies.
But it's in his interest to do so.
I don't expect Arlen to be a rubber stamp.
But you will be my biatch, like Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Or else.
Well, he wasn't the rubber stamp for the budget yesterday. Arlen Specter voted no.
Joe Biden, who, as I reported yesterday, talked him to death. That's how we got Arlen Specter to be a Democrat. He talked to him, 18 times?
18 times.
Yeah. You try that.
For about 12 hours a pop.
He'll do whatever Joe Biden says, because the man can talk.
Anyone who thinks that Arlen is going to cash in his independence politically has another thing coming.
All right. And Arlen Specter himself yesterday talking about the Obama administration.
I do think, Mr. President, that I can be of assistance. You have projected the administration that I feel very comfortable with.
By helping you, I vote against everything that you suggest that I should vote for.
And about his former party.
As the Republican Party has moved farther and farther to the right, I have found myself increasingly at odds with the Republican philosophy and more in line with the philosophy of the Democratic Party.
Which doesn't mean that I will vote for the philosophies of the Democratic Party.
Michael Steele, the whiny RNC chair.
Is this the same Republican Party, the same rightward-tilting Republican Party that saved his hide in 2004, to whom he went running and pleading for support because he couldn't make it through a Republican primary?
He sent out an email to a Republican saying, I hope Arlen Specter's party change outrages you, and you turn your outrage into defeating Democrat candidates. He said some will use Specter's defection as an excuse to fold up the tent.
It's a teeny pup tent. Well, it's a sign of the tent already folding.
He said when Benedict Arnold defected to the British, George Washington didn't fold the tent and give up either. Wow.
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogy.
Pinhead. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.